As you can see, the message tonight, a firm foundation. I'll tell you a few stories about our trip. We went to the Caribbean, down to Grenada, and last night we got home. We flew into Minneapolis about 6 o'clock last night and jumped in a vehicle. And we're so thankful that it was so nice and warm. And we're gonna. It was warmer here after coming from 85 degrees every day and 75 a night. We thought, man, this feels great. So we drove home as quick as we can and got to the house about 9 o'clock and walked in the door. And Tammy said, "It's cold in here." And I said, "What do you mean it's cold in here?" And she said, "It's cold in here." Walked in the house, and when we had left, somehow I shut the heat off, so the water froze in the house. So it was 40 degrees in the house. We went from being 75 in nighttime in the outside in Grenada to 40 degrees. So we turned the furnace on and threw a couple extra blankets on the bed and climbed into bed and made the best of it. But the toilet froze, the faucets froze and broke, and the RO system froze. It was just a disaster. And that shows you that that you got to check and recheck to make sure that the heat is set properly before you leave. I learned that lesson. But while we're on vacation, we had the opportunity to talk to some people. We had kind of a private sanctuary room with a pool in it, and there was people that would come in and bring you food and wait on you. And there was a pool keeper that came in. First day, we kind of made some chit chat with him. And the second day, I asked him, you know, after talking to him a while, I asked him if he knew where he was going to go, and he died. And he looked at me like, "Well, no." So I said, "Well, tomorrow, think about that question, and tomorrow let's sit down and go through it." So he came back the next day, and there was people around, and so he didn't quite know, how to approach it, what to say. But after the people kind of thinned out, he sat down, and I asked him right away. I said, "Lennox, you know, where are you going to spend eternity if you were to die right now?" And he said, "Well, I really don't know." And I said, "Well, would you like to know?" And he said, "Yeah." So we started into the survey, and I didn't have an actual survey form, so I just drew it on a piece of paper, went through the verses off of memory. And so when we got to the part of the survey, which I don't typically always do, but we got to the part of the survey where I asked him how many times a day he thinks he sins or breaks God's law, and he kind of looked at me like, I don't know. And I told him, "Well, are you really good or are you really bad?" And he said, "Well, I'm not very good." So we narrowed it down to just 10. So 10 times a day he was sinning. He was 32 years old, and when I got done with the math, it showed him he had 157,000 sins, and he just kind of just rocked back in his chair and thought, I got a problem. And so he just opened right up, and we went through the survey, and I think he trusted Christ as Savior right there at that point. And he asked me the next day, he said, "Can I bring some friends by?" So next day he brought his boss by, which is Brandon, and Brandon had a little bit more biblical knowledge, but he believed he had to earn his way to heaven, and we went through the survey with him, and it was on our last day, they asked if they could bring even more people by, and 2 hours before we left, we had our room, we had 6 people on the couch doing surveys. It was cool. It was fun. I get kind of choked up because, I mean, God opens doors. It's just a matter of stepping through a door that he opened. But they kept asking me why I was working, why I was there. I had the computer out and I was studying and getting ready for this message and doing some other stuff. And so they were interested in what you were doing. And so it was fun to talk to them about God and talk to them about what God did for us. And we'd always go back to the foundational truth that Jesus Christ did all the work. Jesus Christ did the work on the cross. He paid for the sins. Our part is simply trusting in what he did in our place. And the kids kept pounding that home. They would ask him kind of a lot of different questions, and you answer the question from verses in the Bible, baptism, repentance. They would really see that. They would believe it because they would see it was true in the Word of God. They'd just been told stuff by the preacher, told them they had to come to church on the Sabbath, when they had to keep the law and they had to do this, have to do that. And so their grace really relieved them. It was fun. Oh, before I forget, 9:30 Friday, we can meet at Pastor's for the ice fishing trip. I seen Jerry and I thought of that. 9:30 on Friday. Otherwise, we can meet in Big Fork after 10. That's where I'm going to be, and try to get up the lake at noon. We're going to go in through Rogers Resort. So anytime, if there's somebody that can't make it up there, want to come in late, just give me a call on my cell phone. Well, so our message tonight is the foundation, past, present, and future. You know, we all got a foundation. we have moral convictions. They come from somewhere. We have spiritual beliefs. They're formed from something or somebody. You know, what makes up our thought process? Who controls our lives? Each one of us operate in a different moral system, a different value system. And all of these deeply held values, beliefs, and principles, they form the foundation of who we are and how we operate daily. You know, the Word of God gives us information for which how to build this foundation. And a foundation that can be accepted before Him and well-pleasing to Him. God knew before the beginning of time the decisions we would make in life. Where we'd be born, where we'd live. But yet He, and that was hard for these boys in Grenada to understand, but yet He gave us all the choice to choose where we're going to spend eternity, what we're going to do with our life. Earthly temples are being built all over this world, meaning people that are trusting Christ as their Savior, but many of them lack the knowledge for a source of power to build this strong foundation. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can be the basis, it can be the cornerstone of this foundation. And we want to plant these precious truths in our mind from the Word of God. And we're so lucky here at IBC to have Bible teachers, pastor, to teach us God's Word and to verse by verse build this foundation and make it stronger and stronger. And as our faith grows, our foundation becomes stronger and stronger. Turn over in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to put these verses on the PowerPoint too, but Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:21 says, "You were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now you're reconciled." Again, we were once lost, now we're reconciled. We're in the body of this flesh through death to present your holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Wonderful place to be, isn't it? And indeed, you continue in the faith, third class condition, if you may or may not, not for salvation, but your Christian life. And here's our key word right here. We're grounded and steadfast. And we're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which we heard, which is preached to every creature under heaven, which Paul became a minister. You know, the term foundation means something put down, a substrate to ground or to settle. The verb being the ground or to settle. It means to build something strong and true. You know, we all, in the construction world, you talk about foundations, you talk about getting down to this solid soil and building up from there. We all need a strong foundation. I'm going to cruise along in your handout tonight and go pretty fast because, see, we ain't got a lot of time. But God has created the heavens and the earth, and these are the work of His hands. You know, it's hard to imagine that before the foundation of the world, that God created everything. He built everything with His own hands. He knew what it was all going to look like. He created it all. It says in Psalms 102:25, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Isaiah 43:13 says, "Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the waters. When I call to them, they stand together." And you know, you read these verses and you think, you know, how can anybody think that somebody other than God didn't create this earth? I mean, how perfect and how beautiful it is. Zechariah 12:1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel is, thus saith the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within them." We're all from God and the foundation of this world. He knew everything about us before we were even born. He knew what he was going to do with the earth, what the earth was going to look like. And he makes no mistake that he... One more verse, Hebrews 1:10 says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." I mean, what a unbelievable task in our simple mind to think that God knew what everything was going to be, how he was going to make it, what it was going to look like. Everything about us, everything about the earth, everything about everything. You know, God is infinite. He is the basis of all. The heavens, the waters, he made it all. But God is also the foundation and the beginning of this people he loves, and that's us, isn't he? You know, God's foundation, some of the traits of it, God's foundation is solid. God's foundation is solid. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and lets everyone whose name the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let everyone whose name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Something else about God. God is forever. God has been forever since the beginning of time. God has been here and God will be here forever. Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest," talking about the church, "by the prophetic scriptures made known to all the nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to faith." Commandment of the everlasting God. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world. You read the verse and it's just mind-boggling that before he even built the foundation of the earth, that he knew who would be his. He knew who would make that decision to place their faith in Jesus Christ. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I mean, he sacrificed everything for us through Jesus Christ. And the simplest thing we could do is return that love and be holy and without blame before him. You know, God is also the master builder, isn't he? He's the master builder. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 is talking about Abraham, the great faith chapter. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And here's the key. "And he waited for the city which had foundations, who the builder and maker is God." They were waiting for this city, a foundation. This was part of the Abrahamic covenant. These guys, they were waiting for the promise that was given to them, the promise of land. We see it over in Genesis chapter 1. They believed what God said when God said, "I'm going to give you this land." They went there, they dwelt there. God is the master builder. You know, he's not only the master builder, but he places eternity in our heart. I just love this passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:10. It says, "I have seen the God-given task which the sons of man have occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time." And no mistakes, everything beautiful. "And also has put eternity in their hearts, except no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken away. God does it, men should fear before him. That which has already been and what is has already been, and God recorded an account of what is past." You know, God is also the foundation of peace. You know, we are, as sinners before God, we're at enemy with him. Because of our sin, it separates us from a righteous and perfect and holy God. God is a foundation of peace, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we can enjoy peace through God. John 3:16, we're all very familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He offered us the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that we could have perfect peace with God through Jesus Christ. For God did not send his Son in to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I love these verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the key. He is the foundation for us to have peace with God. Through him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have the hope and glory and peace with God. In Romans 3:23 through 26, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus Christ is the blood sacrifice. We can be redeemed through freely by trusting Christ as our Savior, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a satisfactory payment by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that was previously committed. If we had to pay for our sins, we'd have to be separated from him in eternity, wouldn't we? To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So God is satisfied with the payment that Jesus Christ made. Now we can have perfect peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over in our Bibles to look at a quick parable on foundations over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm not going too fast, am I? I have a tendency to take off roaring like a lion. You study this stuff and you get it embedded in your mind and you just, it just, to you guys it's probably hard to understand, but it just flows out and sometimes you put some stuff in the old melon and it doesn't just flow out the way it was supposed to come out. But Luke chapter 6, it talks about, in verse 47, it talks about the parable of the foundation. And just to set the stage here, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, where the disciples and thousands of people Jesus Christ spoke to with blessings. He spoke of blessings and of woes, and he commanded them to be doers of this and not just hearers of it. So in Luke chapter 6 it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" These people were proclaiming to be followers, but yet they weren't doing what he said. Verse 47 says, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like." A demonstration of who he's like. He is like a man building a house who's dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. What a solid rock to be on, Jesus Christ. But he who heard and did nothing, he who heard these words and did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which a stream beats vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of the house was great. The parable of the story is that to build your foundation on Jesus Christ, the things that he says, know his word, understand it, and let that be the foundation of your daily thinking, of your daily life. You know, once we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, then God has a solid foundation to build on. This represents the river there. Once we placed our faith on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God has a solid foundation to build on. Without Jesus Christ as our foundation, we have no solid foundation, do we? All we have is sinking sand. See, God does the building with us. That's the biggest thing, you know, the hardest thing for people that want to be in control of everything. God does the building. We abide and walk by faith in him daily. And he does the building in us as we abide by faith. 1 Corinthians 3:10 is another good foundation scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:10, we start out, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another man builds on it. Paul is talking about his teaching. But let us each take heed to how he builds on it. Talking to believers in Christ, this just comes off the heels of Paul addressing carnality in the church. No foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anybody builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. Anyone's work is which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, Jesus Christ is the foundation you're building on here. These verses talk about post-salvation, so they're talking about sanctification. And when we choose to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we put in things that are substantial, things that are gold, silver, precious stones, and not the nothing burgers of wood, hay, and straw, which are distemporal. And we notice these works are tested by fire. You know, the works that endure, won't be burnt up. And the things that we pile up on this foundation and is tested by fire and burn up will have, obviously, suffer a loss of rewards. And that's so interesting with people. We see it in the surveys. You see it when you talk to a lot of people is once they trust Christ their Savior, you know, what now, you know? And we try to explain to them that God wants you now to live a life that's pleasing to Him, because we're all going to be rewarded for the things done in our body, whether good or bad. You know, you notice in these things, items like gold. You know, gold, silver, and precious stones. You know, gold, as you look at it, is a good conductor of electricity and heat. It doesn't corrode and it lasts forever. Some of the attributes of gold. You think of Olympic medals. It's Olympics right now. Everybody wants to win a gold. They don't want to go there and win a bronze, do they? They want to win a gold medal. So gold is always first, silver, and precious stones. That's kind of neat how the sequencing of that, even in the Word of God. Silver is also a very malleable, which means formable and ductile. It could be drawn out of the earth. And it's very lustrous, but it can be dulled very easily. And then precious stones. We're going to look at precious stones in this next section. But you look at it, notice the different qualities. And what's interesting about that is that even in heaven, we're all going to be rewarded different qualities according to things done in our body. You know, our life can count here. Everybody's going to be rewarded differently. You know, Hudson Taylor, through our program at Gibbs, we've been reading this book, and it's really moved me. He was a missionary. You guys probably all know about Hudson Taylor, a missionary that started the China Inland Missions, and he got saved at about the age of 17, and right away started studying and preparing to be a missionary in China. Difficult time back in the 1840s, very, very difficult country. But he trained, he conditioned himself, he went without heat a lot of times to condition his body, not much food, just to condition his body when he was living in London yet. And so when he prepared his body and took the trip, you know, he had a foundation physically and he had a foundation spiritually, because he was a man of prayer. The guy prayed hours and hours and hours a day. I mean, he just he sounded like a guy that come out of the womb at 36 instead of being born. He just was very mature. And the way he lived his life over in China, how he depended on God daily, he prayed for everything. He prayed for everything that he got, every provision he prayed for. And most importantly, he prayed that the people of China would be saved. He had a deep burden for their salvation. And he said a lot of quotes he said, but when it comes to foundation, it does not matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or whether it presses you near to God. He was under extreme pressure in different parts of the country, the country trying to run him out. And also money was a big issue because as the ministry grew, it took more and more money, and there wasn't much money. But he would pray when the provisions were low and the funds were gone, and the Lord always answered the prayers. It was just an amazing book. I encourage you to read it. It's called Spiritual Secret. So getting back to our handout, Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Or Christ is the head of the church. Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, renamed him Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." You notice the terms, "I will build my church." That's a possession. Jesus calls it my church. He uses Peter, and upon his foundation, he started this church. It's a possession term of ownership. And what a wonderful place to be is in that ownership of God calling us his blessed church. Okay, turn over in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 15, read verses 15 through verses 20. I got some up on the screen also, but 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created, there in heaven and in our earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself." Talking about Jesus Christ here. Jesus Christ is in the image of God. He is the firstborn over all, and he is the firstborn from the dead. First meaning the first to partake in it. And the significance of that is the position, the ranking of first. He was the first to be born. He was the first to and only one that could make the blood sacrifice to pay for our sins. Talking about firstborn again, Psalms 89:24. "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and my name, his horn, shall be exalted. Also I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. And he shall cry to me, 'You are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation.' Also I will make him my firstborn." David is talking about his attitude towards God, the highest of kings on the earth. My firstborn. You know, for what purpose the firstborn and the church? Yeah, the purpose and goal is to make known the riches of his glory. That's the purpose we'll see over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. The purpose was to, and goal was to make known to us the riches of his glory. Verse 24, "Now I rejoice in the suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church, of which I became minister according to the stewardship from God which is given to me, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery that has been hidden from the ages and from generation and is now revealed to all saints." The mystery meaning the church. "To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of this mystery, the hope of the glory. Him we preach, Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, mature, complete in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. To this end, I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. Now, Jesus Christ laid the foundation with his death on the cross and paid for all of our sins. At that time, when the day of Pentecost, a new dispensation started, a way of life and economy. And all of us believers are placed into the universal church. We're lucky enough here at Itasca Bible Church to be part of this local church. And people that laid the foundation of this church and wanted to be taught the Word of God verse by verse and understand of it in a contextual type of way. And we're thankful for them folks that laid the foundation for that and all the sacrifice has been made all these years. And we're thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit illuminating these truths to us. The last kingdom we're going to look at is the foundation of the future kingdom. This is the foundation that I like the best. The foundation of the future kingdom. You know, God promises us that in the future we're going to live in a kingdom which is prepared for us before the beginning of time. Once again, he prepared this kingdom before the beginning of time. This kingdom is described in Revelation, detailing its size, its unimaginable color, its foundation. And this is the future for us believers in Christ. What a wonderful future to look forward to. You know, the foundations here represent a solid base that lasts forever and ever, in contrast to our time on the earth where we're just pilgrims and sojourners just passing through, aren't we? The future kingdom speaks of a solid foundation that will last forever, opposite of the earth that is fading away. In Revelation 21, verse 1, we went through this study, I think it was last winter, or time kind of blends together, but Pastor went through a lot of this, and it's really informational to understand and know what kind of blessed hope we got to look forward to. And now I saw a new heavens and new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." Unbelievable that someday we're going to dwell with God. "And they shall be his people, and he himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There'll be no more pain, and the former things have passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the foundation of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts." A reference back in John of drinking, the water that gives you everlasting life. You know, in the grand scheme of things, of how things are going to go down in the future, we're here in the church age right now, and when we're raptured up into heaven, right away after we're raptured with a body, it takes a body before we can stand in judgment. We will be judged sometime shortly after in the judgment seat of Christ. We don't know for sure how soon the tribulation will start after the rapture, but as soon as Antichrist gets on the scene, be a 7-year tribulation. At the end of that 7 years, Christ will come back and reclaim the earth, and then the 1,000-year millennial will take place, and then right here is where the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, and eternity forever will be, right here in the end of the millennium. know, there's 12 foundations it speaks of in this New Jerusalem, this holy temple with the names of the 12 apostles. You know, you think that's not significant, but yet Jesus Christ promised these followers of his that they'll be rewarded in heaven. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, Revelation 21:14, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the lambs. So this foundation of this future kingdom that we're going to live in is formed of all kinds of precious stones. You know, the walls and foundations are made, present tense, are made of precious stones. You know, these stones, I don't know if I have, okay, Revelation 21:19, the foundations of the walls of the cities were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was that of jasper. Jasper is crystal clear stone. The second, sapphire, and the third, chalcedony, and fourth, emerald. You know, all these stones have different significance. The sapphire is a blue stone. The chalcedony is a greenish blue, and the emerald is a green, and the sardonyx is a white stone streaked with brown, and the sardonyx is a red stone. And all these beautiful, gorgeous stones are all going to be part of this future kingdom that we are going to live in someday. The city is made of pure gold. Just unimaginable to live in a city made out of pure gold. And the walls are made of jasper, crystal clear. Crystal clear. And this is the thing that really is cool. There'll be no need for sun because God's glory will shine throughout the city. There'll be no temple. There'll be no need for any sun because God's glory will shine throughout. And we will have no need for that. You can think of a kingdom like that and think that God would allow us to live in a place like that with Him, reigning forever and ever. You know, all of us have the ability in life to choose what kind of foundation we want to make in life. You know, some of us choose to build it on the rock, and some of us choose to build it on sinking sand. You know, many of us don't even know how to build a foundation, and in life there's little hope. But the Word of God can instruct us. When a person makes the conscious decision they want to learn more about God, they want to learn how to build a foundation, God honors that. You know, foundation we build can be the foundation for our marriage, for raising our family, the principles we use in doing that, and working, running a business, all of it. And we can all live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, that term grounded is a architectural term, and we talked about first in the meetings. It's an architectural term that refers to foundations that we build. And something you always want to keep in mind is that if our foundation isn't wide, it's never going to be built tall. If we have a narrow foundation in our life and our principles, we're never going to be able to go high, because when things get rough, things fall apart, we'll fall apart. But if we build a wide foundation and allow God to work in our lives to build that foundation, He can build it as high as what He likes. He's looking for faithful, available, teachable people that He can work with and build that foundation. Ephesians 3:14-21 says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might through His Spirit in the inner man." He wants to strengthen us daily through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and you be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to have all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the power being the Holy Spirit. To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ forever and ever in all generations. You know, we have a tremendous privilege here at Itasca Bible Church. You talk to people, and when you explain to them what you've been taught, they all want to know, ask, you know, where can I get taught like that? The guys over in Grenada, they said, we never hear grace like this. We always hear law, people, preachers trying to put you in the law. And here we're taught grace, and that's a tremendous privilege we had. In closing, this song that we sang, "How Firm a Foundation Ye Saints of the Lord Is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word." What more can he say than to you he has said, who unto the Savior for a refuge has fled? In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty, veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, or land or sea, as days made demand, shall the strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, the troubles to bless, and sanctify thee, my deepest distress. When through fiery trial the pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt you, I only design the dross to consume and the gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus I lean for repose, I will not desert to the foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. I never, no never, no never forsake. Tremendous, tremendous song. These songs that were written years and years ago of people that truly love God and wrote some tremendous tunes. In closing, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can open up your word and just learn more about you. And we got so much blessings and benefit in our life because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you for your grace in our life. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit working in us. And we pray, Lord, that we would just look to you to grow our foundation, be taught the principles of the Word of God, and apply them to our life to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And as our foundation grows, our faith becomes stronger, and you can use us more and more, Lord. We pray that we would have that mindset. We pray for our pastor. Pray for him and Jill and their time alone. Just be with them. Bring them back safely. And also we pray for our fishing trip coming up. Pray for safety there, Lord. And we're just so thankful that we have this church. We have this body of believers. And we can all worship together. And we're just thankful for the Word of God. And that's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.